Welcome to another episode of Running Across My Mind. I'm your host, Juan Shack. I have with me Tanisha today. She'll come in and we're going to have a little chit chat. How you doing this evening?
I'm doing good.
I know that you are anxiously waiting for us to talk about this election reaction.
The shenanigans.
and all the shenanigans
going on.
Yes. First off, I just want to take a minute to congratulate Kamala and on becoming the first woman, first black woman, HBCU, my soror, first fam, A5 shout out. It is very great to see her in this moment, and I look for some amazing things to come from her. Hopefully this will set her up to do what we've been asking Michelle to do. You know, everybody wants Michelle to run.
Yes.
But yes. Michelle was like, no, I'm not doing that. So hopefully we can set something up for Kamala to do that.
I agree. I'm excited about all of the firsts. You know what I mean? Every time that there's a first, you know, we had the first black president. Now we have the first like black Indian or biracial vice president, who's also a female. You know, shout out to the women doing big things.
Right. Most definitely.
I'm excited. I think it's always great when you have that representation, because then young people are able to see themselves, you know, in those places. So when we tell our children, you can be anything you want to be, now they can see that, you know, that's really tangible, right?
Yeah. So. It's crazy that it's 2020 and we still having these firsts.
Yeah.
and I know people don't see that and they don't understand how that feels.
Yeah.
But it's 2020, y'all. We've been here for a while.
Yes.
And we still have the first to do certain things. So
yeah,
we definitely need to take that in consideration. Now, looking at what has played out over the last week and how the reaction has been, what I saw from America is that I feel like they were just tired. I felt like they were tired of the division. They were tired of all the nastiness, all of the negativity. They were just tired of it. And it was more of people were voting to get Trump out because they were tired of him, as opposed to people were actually voting for Biden. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that?
No, I mean, I agree. I think to some extent, I would agree that I saw the fatigue in people. You know what I mean? I saw the fatigue. I work with a lot of young people, like in recruiting, and when I listen to them, they don't share those same like views, you know what I mean, that have been so deep-seated in America for so long. Like, I don't hear that. So these up-and-coming kids, like these newly registered voters, they're not about that life, right? So I agree. One of the things that I also saw and that I found to be really, really heartbreaking, really, was the extent of the division. You know what I mean?
Yes.
The fact that it is coming down to the wire. Like, it is coming down to the last little, you know, tens of thousands of votes here. The extent of the division is just, it's really heartbreaking in this country right now.
Yes.
And the fact that I say the government, I know that's a very broad term, and really I'm referring to the former, I guess what used to be known as the Republican Party, because I don't know what they stand for now. But you know, the president that we've had for the last 4 years, the extent to which he was able to, with his rhetoric, divide this country. We've always had differences in political beliefs, but I didn't know that we also had, to the extent that we are seeing now, the division in just fundamental beliefs. You know what I mean? Human rights, human decency.
Right.
That's what I found to be really, really, really interesting with this election.
Definitely. I think kind of, and I'm jumping a little bit on your statements. So first off, yes, young people, a lot of young people. My daughter and I went to the March for Your Life, rally in DC a couple years ago. All of those people were voting this year. So I saw, and they talked about that. At that point, they were being attacked as kids.
Yeah.
By this president that was in office, and now you have those kids coming out and they're voting, and they're like, you didn't give them a voice when you had the chance to.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of backfired on you now. and the division piece, yes, we've always had differences in parties. You know, there's always been some tension between the two, but it was never to the extent of you are physically seeing, like, it makes you ill almost to yes. see people that don't agree with you, where friends are being separated on social media because of these beliefs that you hold. And I think a big issue for me was you had this man standing in front of the country saying these vile and nasty things. This man is a leader of your party, and at no point did you, as my friend, feel like I need to check him, mm-hmm. or I need to say I'm not cool with you saying that, which I feel would have helped to lessen the stark contrast in how we treat each other.
Yeah.
Because I never saw anybody try to hold him accountable. And the people that did hold him accountable, he demonized them.
Yes.
Which may have scared some people, but it's like, you can't just have people say and do whatever they want to do and you not check them.
Bruh, it's like, I mean, just look at it. Like, when you think about, you know, just like regular jobs and stuff like that, and like administration, like when a president picks an administration, like when they pick people around them that's going to be on their team for the next 4 years, you don't expect to see turnover there. Like, you, unless, you know, something like really, like, unless something just really goes left, like, you don't right. expect to see turnover there. But just even the amount of turnover that you saw on his team, like, because people didn't agree with him, or they were like, wait, what did I get into, you right. know? It's just, it's ridiculous. Yes. Like, I'm still shocked. I feel like one of these days we're gonna wake up and we're gonna be like, yo, did you have that same dream? Like, was that real?
Was that real? Exactly, exactly. It's, I said this a long time ago, and it's just continuing to show, you know, when he was elected, I'm like, you guys, we elected a reality TV host to run the country. And it looks like the country is running like a reality TV show. Yes. And I said, drama sells. And this is, we're making top news right now because drama sells. Okay. And he continues to make drama sell. He continues to go out and he'll say one thing in front of the press, but then turn around on Twitter and say something totally opposite to what he said. And, you know, people are like, yeah, they're rallying behind that stuff. And I'm like, y'all gotta check this man. Mm-hmm. This is dangerous. I've said for a long time, this is dangerous.
It is.
And here we are right now, where we have a group of militia talking about if he doesn't win, yeah. we're gonna start some type of race war. Like, really?
Yes.
Seriously?
Yes.
Over an election mm-hmm. that he continues to put these doubts in? And we'll talk about that later. Yes. But so it's mind-boggling. And the positive thing is that we had more people that said, I'm tired of this, mm-hmm. than we had, I agree with him.
Just barely, though.
Barely, yes. Just barely. Just barely.
Just barely. Just eat that one out. Like,
there's still a lot of people that did. And to be honest, I don't know if they necessarily fully agree with him, but because whatever issues or things they were voting on in their house, that's what they went with. But you couldn't get rid of that other stuff. Like, that other stuff is so much. Mm-hmm. You can't disregard that when you're walking into a poll and saying, I'm okay with this happening again for 4 more years. I don't get that. Now, some people said, I couldn't deal with it, so I had to go the other way.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of, and just kind of speaking, going forward with Biden being elected, he made a lot of promises to people.
Yeah.
He talked up a lot of things that he wanted to do. We had a lot of people pushing for him, a lot of people in the African-American community pushing for him, a lot of Black women pushing for him and this ticket. And I'm like, okay, bruh, you got in. I wasn't jumping for joy. I didn't react like that. I know a lot of people did. I did not personally, because I'm more concerned about what actions are you going to do.
Yeah.
I'm more concerned about how does this work out for everybody. Granted, you want to bring the country back together. That's going to be a long road. It's going to take more than the 4 years that you're in there.
Yeah.
Period. But you still have a contingent of people that have expressed that we're tired of where we are and the places that we stand in this country, and we want things to change. And you promised those people that you were going to make that change.
Yeah.
So now you have, we have afforded you this position to do those things.
Yeah.
Is it going to happen? So I'm cautiously optimistic about, is this actually going to happen?
Yeah, I think in terms of, you know, like electing presidents like Joe Biden and people that are, you know, just Democrats in general, like, I'm not even gonna lie. I don't subscribe to any political party. I've always said it for forever that it's nothing but like games. I mean, George Washington, the first president of the United States, warned against political parties. He said, this is what's gonna happen. People are gonna pick sides and it is going to tear the nation apart. And that is exactly what is happening, right? That's what we're seeing.
Yeah.
As we were watching the results unfold, Ronald and I were sitting there, you know, just watching what was happening. And I said, this man, they act like gangs. And he was like, yeah, it looks like you got the Republicans and the Democrats,
right.
You know? Like, it's ridiculous how
yes.
they act.
Yes.
And it's just, I am just amazed at the way that we have been fooled into being pitted against one another. And not the people who are supposed to serve us, and not holding them accountable for serving us, the people, right? In terms of like Democrats and Republicans, like, I don't subscribe to either party. I am not so thrilled with anything that Democrats have done for Black people in general, ever. Like, not even Barack Obama. Like, I'm not even gonna lie. I'm not saying that, you know, I recognize that one president, one person before Donald Trump, could not do, you would think that they would not be able to do anything, you know, anything large without, you know, other bodies like in Congress, you know, kind of approving
right.
or denying it,
right?
Like you would think that everything is supposed to work together.
Yes.
And so you can't really blame anything on one individual. It has to be the collective, right?
Exactly.
So when I think about things that Barack Obama was able to do or was not able to do, I don't just blame him because he was working with what he had.
Yeah.
Whereas you have this president who had the majority in the Senate and he was also the president. So he was able to do a lot more damage or, you know, if he were to use or try to use his powers for good, he would have been able to do more good,
right.
You know, but you have to work with what you have. But I am not thrilled with anything that the Democrats have done in the recent past. For African Americans in general. When I think about things that plague our community, it is things like education, it is things like, or access to equitable education,
right.
Things like prison reform, you know what I mean? Those things are what is going to push us forward
right.
as a people.
Right.
It is not these programs like Medicaid and, you know, like, I think those are important, and that's why I typically tend to vote Democrats is because I'm a little bit more liberal and I am a little bit more collective
mm-hmm.
in my thinking.
Yes.
Whereas I feel like Republicans are more individual, like it's all about capitalism, it's all about the dollar. And honestly, like, I feel like at my core, I could be backpacking homeless in Europe somewhere right now. Like, that's how I feel most days. But I tend to be a little bit more liberal and collective, and that's why I vote the way that I vote. But I can't say that Democrats have been so good to Black people.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, definitely. I'm right there with you. I don't fully subscribe to either party because some things I am conservative on, some
mm-hmm.
things I'm more liberal on. I feel like, personally, we need another party that is actually for the people
yes.
of the country.
Yes.
I think that, and this is only my opinion, I didn't get this from any stats or anything like that. I think both are capitalistic in nature, and I feel like we fight to keep them rich.
Yes, we do. We fight each other.
We fight each other to
keep them rich.
Right. As opposed to coming together and making them do what we actually want them to do. All these things they continue to promise on campaign trails, and then when they get in there, you basically don't see them anymore. And
yeah.
that drives me crazy. So that's why I'm like, we need a whole nother party
yeah.
that's actually gonna be for people and actually gonna do the work. Now, is that something that's a quick turnaround? No,
mm-hmm.
that was take a lot to build something like that. But the fact that we want to do it and it needs to be done, outweighs having these two parties just run the country for the rest of eternity. I know there's a young brother out of out of Hampton Roads is actually going to be running for attorney general as an independent. And people were giving him grief about it. But I'm like, he's doing the work. Mm-hmm. And I would rather see him in there because he's for people, from what I can tell, as opposed to, I'm going to do this, I'm going to say I'm for the people, but really I'm for the dollar.
Yeah.
Which is where I've seen both of these parties really fall short in how they subscribe to things. And even talking about that, I see some religious leaders that have, you know, gotten behind this whole, this is false, everything's a lie, the media shouldn't be telling people who won. I'm like, we've been doing this for how long at this point? And now all of a sudden it's wrong?
They did the same thing in 2016.
I don't understand. Everything was great when he won.
Yep.
And, you know, it was against Hillary and all of these things, and reported the same way.
Yep.
Everybody was okay with it. But now here we are, and because he's lost, now all of a sudden things are wrong. Now
he ain't officially lost, according to his people.
Yes,
you know.
Yes, unofficially,
unofficially, you know, because the media don't call elections.
Right,
the government does.
Right, because we've never seen the media ever call an election. Never in life. It's always been, the only time that I've seen this happen is when Bush ran against Gore.
Yeah.
And they had to he called for the recount because it was close. But a lot of these states that he's claiming that he wants recounts in, they don't even need to do it because of the difference.
Yeah.
And the amount and the number is so high that they don't have to do a recount because it would do no good at all.
But when did it become normal or okay for people to file lawsuits and claim things with no evidence? When did that become acceptable? And like, and then people will point to like these individual instances. Well, that there was this video that showed this. Okay, that's fine and everything, but is it pervasive enough for it to really change the results of the election? Like, do I believe, it's just the same thing with like welfare fraud or something like that, right? Do I believe that fraud happens in the system? Heck yeah. As long as there's opportunity for fraud, like people will do it, right? So do I believe it? Yes. Do I believe that it is pervasive enough to make a difference, to really make an impact? No, I don't.
Right.
Just like with this election. And they know that. They're not praying. They're not doing it like for the people. They're not doing anybody a service. They are preying on the ignorance
right.
of people.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because you want to believe something so badly, like you want things to turn out the way you want them to so badly that you are willing to believe this, right?
Yes.
You ever watched that movie, The American President?
Yes.
Okay. There's like that quote in there where it's like, people don't drink the sand because they're thirsty. People drink the sand because they don't know the difference. Oh, right. Like that's what this feels exactly. like right now.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
And they're, and this is a dangerous rhetoric to put in the minds of people, because now you're questioning the entire process, the entire voting process that has worked for this long.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, everything's wrong. The mail was lying. USPS was holding votes. They were burning votes. I heard some lady on the news say that her family called her and said that they gave people a permanent marker to mark in your ballots. And I'm like, really? Like this, like stuff like this. I'm like, come on, man. Y'all have not shown anything to say this has happened definitely.
Yeah.
To a point where we can say, okay, I can see how you would feel this way. And as you stated, even if it was, to the extent of it being as large as it has been, no. This was going to be unprecedented regardless, because people are at home. They're not coming out to polls.
No.
So people are sending their votes in. That's just how it was going to happen. Yep. This is COVID.
For it to be Democratic votes that came in late, for it to be those votes, makes complete sense when you think about the fact that the president told his supporters to not mail in votes because it was fraudulent. Don't do that, right? And so, yes, I would have expected Republicans to go out in person and vote. and people who are voting Democrat to stay home and mail their votes in.
Right.
That makes sense.
Right.
So why is it so hard for people to connect the dots? Like, that's the part that I don't understand. And it's not because the information is not there. It's not because the logic isn't there. It's because they want to believe something so badly.
Yes.
That they're willing to drink the sand.
Yes.
you know?
Even if it chokes them to death.
Yes.
Yes.
They're willing to drink the sand.
And which leads me to my next thing. His reaction to it, I've said this numerous times, and if you guys want to check me on this, check me. Malignant narcissism is real. I have said that he is that person. Mm-hmm. He embodies the characteristics of that. Look it up. It's on Google. Just put the word malignant narcissism, and you will see the characteristics in there.
Let me Google this real quick.
he embodies those characteristics. If it doesn't go for him, mm-hmm. then it's completely it's completely wrong, basically. Let's see here. Let me see if I can find it.
I see. What is
highly
it?
Manipulative.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care who they hurt as long as they get their own way. They see the world in black and white terms, including seeing others as either friend or foe. They seek to win at all costs and generally leave a great amount of pain, frustration, and even heartache in their wake. They generally don't care about the pain they cause others, or may even enjoy it and experience it as empowering. They will do whatever it takes to prevent themselves from loss, inconvenience, or failing to get what they want in any situation. That is textbook malignant narcissism.
That is him.
And we're sitting here allowing this person to do that.
Yes.
And being okay with that. And I'm sitting here and I'm looking at him like, are you kidding me right now? You are dangerous. You are splitting the country. You continue mm-hmm. to say the things to make sure that the country is split and stays split.
Yeah.
At no point in time in this that you've been in office, have you been an actual leader and stood up and said, you know what? We gotta chill. We gotta stop. We gotta be better as Americans. Everything that comes out your mouth is they are doing this. They are wrong. They lie. Fake news in these places. Like, everything is, if it's not for you, every single thing is against you. You will not look at the other side at all.
You know what the most scary thing about this is that, you know, people have compared what is happening in the U.S. right now to, you know, like other like fascist regimes and stuff like that. But one that's like most notable is like when you think about like Nazi Germany back in the day, right? And you think about Hitler and his rise to power and like what enabled him to get to that point. Because when you think about the 6 million Jews that were killed in the Holocaust, you're like, how in the world did people let that happen? How did people allow that to happen? And then you think, oh, that can't happen here. Or that can't happen in the modern world, right? Because somebody would say something, like we would hold people accountable for things like that. But the way that he has gone about, like, it is almost like mad scientist, like genius. Like, it's crazy. It is, it's sad to say that, but it is almost genius the way that he has done that. Like, you pit people against each other. Nobody can trust anybody. The only person you trust is him, right? And then you think about all of the things that you're experiencing. Oh, poor people, I'm so sorry, but guess who's to blame? It's these people. It's the Mexicans. It's, you know, immigrants. Like, they're stealing your jobs. They're the ones that are driving it. You know, when all the while, these people at the top are the ones benefiting from the suffering of the people down below.
Most definitely.
Right? And just like, it's the fact that we can't see that we're just falling into this trap. And based on like false promises and things like that. Like, I know that I can't say that Democrats have done so much for Black people, but what have Republicans or Democrats done for poor white people or poor Black people in the past, I don't know how many administrations? Like, just tell me.
Yeah.
Like, go ahead, I'll wait. You know what I mean? And like,
once you hit a certain threshold of salary
exactly.
in your household, you're kind of left out there to fend for yourself. But then you're told, you know, even though you make this minimum amount of money, even though you're struggling to pay your bills, feed your family, have daycare, all of these things, mm-hmm. it is a horrible thing for you to ask the government to yes, help you out.
It sure is.
Even though when you go and get your minimum wage paycheck, the government will make sure that they take those taxes out. And they will make sure that you file those taxes every year. And they'll make sure that if you owe them money, they're going to get that money from you. But it's horrible. We have been programmed to say it is horrible for you to ask them to help you out because you're struggling. And then we fight once again to put these people in office, and we're using this rhetoric to do it.
Exactly.
It is amazing. And I'm like, why do you people not see this? What is the problem?
I don't understand it.
What is the problem? We have a lot more power than we give ourselves credit for.
Right.
None of these businesses, none of these people would run anything if we didn't support them, period. Mm-hmm. Point blank. You take all your money away from a business, it dies. COVID, prime example. Nobody was able to go out and spend money. And these businesses are falling flat on their face because they're not getting us out here spending the money to keep them afloat. That shows you right there that we have the power to do this.
And the sad thing about that whole thing is that you have programs like unemployment and things like that where people were getting extra money. Oh, we're going to give, you know, people $600 extra so that they can stay afloat, you know, each week for losing their jobs and things like that. You give people food stamps. Oh, we're going to do this. And then you have larger programs for small businesses and things to keep them afloat, like, those loans that they were giving people. Think about, after the fact, how much we learned about the amount of fraud that was happening with that program, giving money to these larger businesses and things like that, that they knew after the fact it was happening, that businesses were coming back up and was like, oh man, you're right. Like, Nike don't need, you know, I'm not saying that Nike was one of the companies, I'm just saying like a company like that. Like, yeah, we're gonna give this money back because we really did need that, you know?
Yes.
But they were taking money from these smaller businesses that really needed that. And where was the outrage there? There was no outrage there, but there was a ton of outrage for people getting an extra $600 a week for workers' comp. Money that they have paid into, they have paid into that. That is not a handout. That is money that you are getting back.
Right.
From what you paid into it.
Exactly.
You can't get it without having paid into it. Like, I don't understand that. Like, this is not a handout. I paid for this.
Right.
You're mad at me for getting $600 extra, but you're not mad at this large company that just got $3 billion,
exactly,
you know, fraudulently, because they didn't need it.
No.
You know?
No.
Where's that outrage?
$3 billion, they gave their employees a little small smitter of it, and they gave their stockholders the large portion of it to do whatever they wanted to do with it. And I mean, honestly, talking about some of the policies and people were upset because Joe's like, I'm going to raise taxes if you make over $400,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the larger people with bank accounts are like, I can't do that. You know, you can't be taking all of my money. Y'all don't lose out. Because once the government raises taxes on y'all, all y'all do is turn around and take and raise the cost for your product from us so that we can cover what you're losing for what. Yep. So y'all don't take any losses ever.
Everything rolls downhill.
But here we are.
Fighting amongst each other.
Right.
Fighting amongst each other.
To keep them rich. Yes.
To keep them rich.
And kind of just bring this full circle. I hope that we see some change. I hope that this whole election result thing is finalized. They said by the 14th or something like that? The 12th something. I hope it's done then, period, over. And we can move on. Because this has been a rough 4 years for the country, in my personal opinion. A rough 4 years, and a lot of things were exposed this year with COVID and, you know, this unveiling of racism that nobody ever supposedly knew that was there. But I'm looking for some positive change, some positive growth, and getting back to, not getting back to what we were, but becoming something better. I think we've torn it down at this point, so now we can build it back up.
Yeah.
And I'll give you the final one.
I, Bro, I'm just waiting for people to wake up. Like, if I'm being real, like, I'm just waiting for people to wake up.
I mean, I think if this election has taught people anything, I think the biggest thing that it should have taught us is that we need to be educated. We need to be educated on the process and how things really work, right? Because, like, even in this election, you know, like, people don't choose the president. Like, we know we don't choose the president just outright, right? It comes down to the Electoral College. You know, we vote, then the states roll up their votes, then those votes decide who the electorates are for the state, and then those folks vote on who the president is, like, sometime in December. So we know that that's how it works. And so I just hope that people going forward just educate themselves on, like, what your candidates are running for, like, what, you know, take stock in yourself and figure out what you value, because I feel like that's something that's sorely lacking in Americans nowadays, is that we don't value anything, or we don't know what we value or what's more important. I've heard people say that they voted for people based on one piece of a platform, like, oh, I'm afraid that somebody's gonna take my guns. Well, they can't take your guns, because right. The way that the amendment process works to the Constitution, like, it's not gonna happen.
Right.
So get,
right.
get your life
right.
and educate yourself, for real, because they're preying on our ignorance is what's happening right now, and it's really sad.
Definitely.
It's very sad.
Definitely. I appreciate your time. Appreciate you coming on and giving your thoughts. I know you've had a lot of thoughts. We've been talking for a while, and I figured that this would be the best topic for us to kind of go back and forth with, and give some more perspective. I definitely agree with you about us being more committed to understanding what we're seeing, mm-hmm. and being confident in saying no, that we're not going to keep allowing this to happen.
Yep.
So I appreciate the time. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, yes. Running across my mind. We definitely got to do this again.
Yes.
Yeah, I said the last show, I need to get a co-host to make it a little more spicy.
Bruh, me. Okay? I mean, I did all the thing this time, ain't cut.
Well, we will definitely check into that and see if we can work that out. This is your host, Juan Shack, Running Across My Mind. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. And take care. God bless. And try to do better. We need it for everybody to be better as people, period.